This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
B-Pod Studios.
So, you're a business that's thriving. But then, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josh waiting for the snap. Takes it. Going to throw. Stands in the pocket. Cocks his arm, now fires into the end zone, caught, touchdown Buffalo. Dawson Knox makes the catch. Broncos rush five. Josh gets away from pressure, going to keep it and run with it. Inside the 15, inside the 10, headed for the end zone, touchdown. Josh Allen, a 24-yard touchdown run for the Buffalo Bills. He made it look easy. 17 seconds away now from the AFC East Division title. The Buffalo Bills are champions of the AFC East for the first time in 25 years.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now.
Ooh. The Bills are making it. Feel it in your toes. 617-779-0985 is the phone number here. Felger and Maz, Arcan, Ted Johnson, and the big boy Greg Bedard. The Buffalo Bills, your AFC East champions. They are partying in Buffalo, setting tables on fire and wearing Zubas pants and jumping through them. They also have five Pro Bowlers going. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Andre Roberts, Tre'Davious White, Tremaine Edmonds. We just mentioned the Dolphins. I think they only sent one Pro Bowler, Xavien Howard, I think.
And well, he should.
Right.
Defensive MVP, I think.
Sure. And the Patriots are sending three. Their punter, their gunner, and, of course, Stephon Gilmore. Let's get to this right now, because the AFC East certainly seems to have flipped itself here. I think we can all agree on that.
The last time they won the AFC East, do you remember? It was the year I was drafted, 1995.
Yep. When the Colts were still in the AFC East at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They were still in the division.
That's how far back.
That's wild.
It's been.
That's crazy.
Sorry to interrupt. Yep.
No problem. The division now looks very different, of course, and with these teams clearly head and shoulders above the Patriots this year, I think that's pretty obvious. How many years are we looking at, I think, is what Patriots fans want to know. How many years are we looking at until they can climb back up there and be back in that mix?
Greg, you have thoughts?
I think it depends on what they do this offseason. I mean, look, it does. I mean, that's not any, you know, rocket science or anything. I mean, who the hell's going to be the quarterback? Like, as soon as you could tell me that, then maybe I could tell you something else. Like, you know, if we're just going with another caretaker with a with possibly a rookie quarterback, maybe they trade up and get a guy. It could be a while. Do they go out and get a Matthew Stafford or Jimmy Garoppolo or somebody like that? And do they upgrade wide receiver? Do they get a real tight end? Do they get a couple playmakers on defense? Then it's a different conversation. But, you know, look, I went through it position by position in the AFC East. There's no question that the Bills have passed the Patriots. The Patriots, I still have them barely ahead of the Dolphins. But, look, I think one factor in all this is a lot of things went right for the Bills this year. And even though their defense isn't great, and I still think this is a team that could get upset in the first round. Like, if they have to play the Colts in the first round, it could be an early exit for the Bills, because that's the exact type of team, really tough, can run the ball, play good defense, can play man-to-man, that the Bills could have trouble against. A lot of things have gone right for them. I mean, that Josh Allen goes from 58% completion percentage to 68, that does not happen. Unless a lot of things go right. It's not just Josh Allen. It's they got Stephon Diggs, and he stayed healthy, and Beasley stayed healthy, and Dawson Knox developed, and the offensive line did, and Brian Daboll was probably the best coordinator in the game this year. All those things went right. But I don't think that the Patriots are necessarily too far away. Yeah, it could be if they don't make the right – if they get Hunter Henry and he's hurt all next year, then they're going to suck. If they get the wrong quarterback, they're going to suck. Like, we have to know what the other pieces of the puzzle are. But look, this is a Bills team where the Patriots were driving to win that game. And they might have if Cam Newton doesn't fumble. You know, a couple games here and there, they go the other way. A few plays here and there, it's a little bit different. So I don't think it's dire. I'm not ready to say that. I really need to see what is the plan in the offseason. Number one, who is the quarterback? What do they do at other spots? And then we could talk.
Yeah, I worry that this isn't going to be a quick fix. You know, I know they have a ton of money to spend in the offseason, but, you know, who are they going to spend it on? And, you know, are guys going to want to come here and play? Are you going to be able to get, you know, and Felger always talks about, you know, guys go where the money is. They do. But since when does the Patriots break the bank for players? When's the last time they've really paid for a player? It was Stephon Gilmore, right?
Yeah, sure. And before that, it was Darius Thomas.
Yeah. And then I guess Darrell Revis too, maybe. But,
oh, true, Revis.
But yeah. It's very, very rarely do they go and pay top dollar for players. So, and I think there's going to be some interesting – I feel like a lot of the veterans, you know, might retire, guys that have kind of thought about it, the McCourty brothers, who knows, maybe Matthew, I don't know. Does Dante come back? Maybe not. So there's going to be huge veteran leadership void, I think, on this team potentially as well. And so I just think this is going to be kind of something where I can almost maybe see them taking a step back next year before they take two steps forward. So I really worry about that. Even though they have a lot of money, typically the Patriots aren't just going to go out there and just, you know, get top, you know, pay top dollar for guys. So I think this thing could take a while. And I will say this about Buffalo. I think the thing for Buffalo that where I could see them having sustained success is you always look at the two things that I think that are the most important part of an organization. What's the head coach quarterback combination? And right now they seem to have it. I think Sean McDermott has shown that he can coach his ass off there. And I think you have the right quarterback for Buffalo. I think it takes a certain personality type to be a quarterback who wants to be there, who loves that town. And you got a guy who's from rural Northern California, who played college ball at Wyoming, and who's probably happy as a clam playing in Orchard Park, New York, right? You know, he's not – it's not – I can't imagine
it's not
Patrick
Broadway
Holmes
Joe over here.
In right. Buffalo. I can see Josh Allen thriving there for a very long time with that coach. So that's what makes me worried about Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly fair. I think when the topic comes up of where do you go from here, you know, you mentioned it, Greg. It's hard, tough to really know without the quarterback, but there's like four or five other position groups that need immediate help right now, and that's sort of the difference. Like, in the past, if the wide receivers weren't that great, Bill would go out and get you Randy Moss and Wes Welker. If the secondary wasn't good, which it wasn't for 10 years, they eventually went out and got Revis and Browner. That put them over the top. Now, you need a quarterback. Yeah. You need wide receivers. You need tight ends.
You need offensive linemen,
defensive linemen, offensive linemen, linebackers. Like, where do you start? After quarterback, where do you start?
For me, it's tight end. Like, you know, they need somebody, A, who can block there, B, who can go out and actually be a threat in the middle of the field. I mean, they have had, you know, once Edelman went down and once it became apparent that Edelman was basically playing on one leg, they had nothing in the middle of the field. I mean, nothing. And, you know, it's just really hard to play offense in the NFL these days without anything in the middle of the field. And, you know, so for me, that's outside of quarterback. That's the number one place where I think they have to make an impact. They have to get somebody who can be above average and be a difference maker.
Yeah, I mean, besides the tight end and wide receiver positions, those are glaring needs. They have been for 2 years. You know, help me out here, Greg. Right? I mean, those championship teams that I was on early on, we had stalwarts at D line. You know, an edge. I mean, we had great outside line. We had great defensive ends. I mean, we had first rounders up and down the line. And it feels like Bill doesn't put as much stock in that position anymore. And so for me, you know, it's why I don't want to go get a huge defensive end, an outside linebacker that can pass rush. You know, look, you can still win games with defense. I know it's all offense oriented, but you can see clearly that they have issues on defense. Up front. And so to me, go get a dominant pass rusher or a big ass defensive end in free agency or in the draft as well.
Yeah, I'd like to certainly see that. That'd be nice. It's just that's the problem is there's a lot of different places. And they're picking, what, 15th right now? If the season ended today, they'd have the 15th overall pick. That's not really high enough to go get your next franchise quarterback unless you trade up.
You know what's going to be interesting too? And I mentioned this in the pre-show email is this. Think about where we are a year ago today. I mean, this defense was a historical defense. Bill was, it was coaching the defense. It was playing at a historical pace. You had, you just hired two of the, you know, former Patriot players to be on your coaching staff. You have your sons coaching with you. Josh McDaniels is doing his thing on offense. I mean, it's almost was like it was running itself. And now it looks like the most daunting task, you know, Bill has in front of him. And at the age of 69, you know, how is this going to look? I mean, he has the smallest scouting department in the NFL. He has the smallest coaching staff in the NFL. You know, he's been kind of taking more time in the offseason, you know, doing vacations. It's like if I were Bill, I would be worried because you have more work to do now as the head coach of this team than you have ever before. And it's going to be, I think, a daunting task for him moving forward because there's no quick and easy fix with this football team right now.
Yeah. And I would also add that, you know, Bill is, you know, basically screwed if McDaniels leaves. If he gets a head coaching job in the offseason. And I think that was part of part of the issue with the Giants and Carolina openings last year that, you know, Joe Judge got the interview for, McDaniels didn't get the interview for. Mm. Depends on who you talk to, who was to blame for that. But if Josh gets a job, then
he's screwed.
You know, he might take Bill O'Brien with him. Yeah. I don't know if Bill O'Brien wants to come back here. I know he wants to be a head coach again. Does he go to the college ranks? If Jed Fish goes, mm-hmm. he's only been here for a year. I'm not a biggest Jed Fish fan. Do they have to go and get Chad O'Shea? I mean, basically, yep. McDaniels has run the offensive side of the yep. building for multiple years now. Bill hasn't had a whole, you know, he'll consult here and there, but really it's been McDaniels' kingdom over there. And if Josh leaves, you know, and he doesn't have a real defensive yep. coordinator, now he doesn't have a real offensive coordinator, like, good luck.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think McDaniels is gonna leave too. I really do. And so if that's the case, oh man, Bill's in big trouble.
Yeah. It would be interesting to me, too, if after all those great years, Josh McDaniels finally leaves after this crappy one.
Right.
You know, like right. he had a great stock and everyone yeah. thought he was this great offensive mastermind. And then yeah. he has this terrible year and they're like, yeah, yeah, come on in. We'll hire you.
You've seen little by little over the past few years kind of coaches leaving to go somewhere else. So, you know, we've kind of wondered what's going on that we don't know about. You know, something is. And I just feel like, you know, little by little, these guys leave. And the cupboards are kind of bare, I think, in the coaching staff there in Foxborough.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. When we come back, 10 questions with the big boy.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's time for 10 questions here with the big boy Greg Bedard, Ted Johnson in as well, myself, Christian Arcan here, in for Felger and Maz. And let's begin with some of our buzzer options. This is one of my favorite things that we do on these airwaves ever, is the buzzer options. So let's roll through them first. Jim, if you would, what is our first one?
I'm just going to say no to talk radio questions.
Nice.
$5 foot long.
Very good.
Jarrett Stidham.
Okay.
We believe in Jarrett Stidham.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
I knew that was coming. I knew that one was coming. All right. Do we have a consensus or should we just mix them up?
Yeah, just mix them up.
All right. We'll go ahead and mix them up. Let's begin with question number one.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
There we go.
Okay. All question right. one. The most pleasant surprise on the team this year.
Oh, crap. I just realized I read that question wrong. But the most pleasant surprise.
What did you think? Hold on. What did you think it said?
I thought it was most pleasant surprise in the NFL this year.
I don't know. On the Patriots.
I would think it's Jacoby Myers. You know, I think he's developed into a really nice player. I think that, you know, I think he's a good solid number three. Like if you can get a couple guys over him, then I think you have something there. But I've been really impressed with him. He's been a great story, and he's a good football player.
You know what? I was going to go with him as well, but Greg, I thought maybe you would go with Mike Onwenu, the offensive lineman, who's let's face it, he has far exceeded I think anybody's expectations. When you're a 6th round draft pick, and then you don't only start your rookie year, but you are versatile, and you are you have some clean sheets in these games, which is incredible, right? So I'll say the biggest surprise to me is the 6th round offensive lineman out of Michigan, Mike Onwenu.
All right, for me, it's Damian Harris, who didn't play at all last year and turned out to be a pretty good NFL running back this season.
I'm just going to say no to talk radio questions.
Good plan there, Bill. All right, number two, biggest letdown on the team this year, Greg?
Devin Asiasi. This was a guy who they traded up to get. It was wide open for him to grab a starting role. He looked okay for about the first about 10 days of camp, and then he completely fell off a map to where, he looks like, and the people I've talked to around the team, it's been his compete level. Like, at some point you realize the NFL is hard when you get there, and it's either you push through and you become a player, or you kind of, sort of run from that challenge. And so far in his rookie year, he's run from that challenge. And to me, he's been a huge disappointment, because there's no reason why he can't play more and catch the ball and be a real factor down the field. And also, this whole compete thing, it now leads to whispers about this is a guy who faced adversity at Michigan. And what did he do? He ran back to California, to LA, to UCLA. And are we looking at the same sort of situation here with the Patriots, where Michigan and Jim Harbaugh was too tough? Are Belichick and the Patriots too tough?
It's fascinating, because Bill was always part of those psychological tests that the Giants and Cleveland Browns used to combine in giving, with these like 500-word multiple choice, tests to test your, the psychology of a player. And Bill's kind of, I feel like he's missed on the kind of just getting that part right in some of these players he's drafted. But for me, I would say it's the COVID is kind of the biggest letdown in a sense. I don't want to make excuses for COVID, especially on this team, because it shouldn't be, a valid excuse. But let's face it, ever since Cam Newton got COVID after week two, this offense, and Cam Newton in particular, has not been the same.
My biggest letdown was Juwan Bentley this year. And not that I thought he was going to be Brian Urlacher or anything like that, but I thought he'd be more than what he was. He really flashed that first year. He was hurt all last year. And this year, he was awful.
I thought he'd be better last year, but I'm with you on that.
No matter who you are, if you're a quarterback, a wide receiver, running back, or tight end, if you run a Juwan Bentley, he will not tackle you. That is a fact. All right.
$5 foot long.
All right. Has Bill Belichick won his last AFC East?
I don't think so. And, I'll go against Ted a little bit here, where I do have a lot of respect for Sean McDermott in Buffalo, and I do think he's a good coach. I think him and Brandon Bean, the GM, run a good program. I don't think that he's the greatest coach, and I think he struggles against the Patriots. And they might beat the bag out of the Patriots on Monday night. But again, the past couple of years, the Bills finally beat the Patriots this year, and it was only because Cam Newton fumbled, or else they were going in for the game-winning score and ripping the heart out of the Bills again. So, a couple moves. I have more faith that Bill's going to make the right moves and get them a couple games better, and the Bills regressing because they feel great about who they are. And I don't think McDermott will cut that off.
I think the answer to this question for me is yes. I think he's won. He's not going to be able to win another division here, in the sense that, not only the Buffalo Bills, I think, are going to be around to stay, but also the Miami Dolphins. So you got the Miami Dolphins and Bills, I think, for the first time in the last 20 years, where they have viable head coaches with quarterbacks, and maybe they're starting to turn these programs around. And don't forget, Bill's almost 70 years old. And so unless he wants to coach for the next, three, four, five years, I don't think he's going to win in the next couple of years, and so I can't see him coaching another 4 or 5 years. So I'm going to say he's won his last division here.
I'm operating under the belief that he coaches for 5 more years, and if he does, I think a division title is something that can be kind of arbitrary. An injury could give you a division. Like, those things happen. He's probably coached in his last Super Bowl, but I think he could win the AFC East again.
Jarrett Stidham.
Who would you rather have at quarterback next year, Greg and Ted? Present-day Cam Newton or Hugh Millen in his prime?
That's terrible. You actually should have put Zolak in there. That would have been a more viable candidate.
I considered it.
I can't. Hugh Millen was terrible. And I'm going Cam Newton with real weapons. I'd rather have him.
Yeah, I had to look up Hugh Millen's stats. I was not paying attention to the Patriots back then. But it's interesting. So his high watermark, Hugh Millen, was 1991. He played 13 games. Cam has played 13 games. So these exact you can really compare exactly between the two. Give me Cam all day long. When I look at Hugh Millen's stats, I mean, the one that jumps out at me the most is in 13 games. You realize how many times Hugh Millen was sacked in 13 games? 54 times.
Jesus.
I mean, good God. So and the numbers don't get any better from there. But give me Cam Newton, believe it or not, all day over Hugh Millen.
By the way, Vinny at NBC Sports Boston, no pictures of Hugh Millen, really? Okay. All right.
We believe in Jarrett Stidham.
Your options to watch Saturday's Cardinals 49ers game will either be Amazon Prime Video or on Twitch. Will any of the streaming services ever end up with a legit NFL TV package?
Yes, if they're crapping golden eggs and handing them over to the NFL. I mean, the NFL, we know, they sell out for any dollar sign, and this might be the time to do it because you know owners like the Krafts who voted against dwindling the preseason down to two games in exchange for a 17th season, probably because they want the foot traffic back at Patriot Place. You know these owners, after what's going on with COVID, and now they have to cut down on their private airfare time for about a month. These guys want their money back. And so if it's going to come from a streaming service and a lot of these television contracts are up, you know, it's not going to be a major one, but a smaller one where it's one game a week, like the Thursday night package. Hell yeah, I think it's going to a streaming service.
Yeah, I think so. Slowly but surely over time, I think it's going to take 10, 15 years maybe before they're throwing big money at the NFL. But I think just the viewing habits have changed, and they're going to slowly change over and over. A lot of times, it's only people that watch network TV are people, you know, 50 years and over. So I think the future of the NFL is definitely going to go to more of these kind of streaming opportunities.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
All right. The question here is, should Bill Belichick start Jarrett Stidham for these final two games?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, if that means telling Cam we're paying off your incentives, because if he does sit, he's not going to hit a bulk of his money, which is part of the reason why I said earlier, once he won the starting job, just pay his incentives. So you don't have to worry about any of this stuff, and you don't have to feel indebted that he's only getting $1 million. But yeah, look, it's over. There's no point. Let's see what Stidham can do. And playing him in the season finale when everyone has their bags packed against the Jets, the one win Jets, doesn't tell you anything next year. The Bills coming in Monday night, a team that's playing really well, that really likes to beat you. If he goes out there and he plays well, yeah, that means something. So, yeah, put him out there.
You're damn right, put him out there, Greg. I couldn't agree with you more. Look, you know, if you're going to say the narrative you keep hearing is, oh, he's not ready to play. He's not ready. He's dressed, isn't he? You know, a lot of times Bill say, hey, if you're dressed, you're ready to play. So he leapfrogged Brian Hoyer in the depth chart. So why not put him out there? I mean, Cam Newton ranks 33rd in passing yards per game. He ranks 36th in touchdown passes per game, and there's only 32 NFL teams. So he's ranked worse than some of the backups in the NFL. So why you wouldn't play Jarrett Stidham at this point doesn't compute with me. Put him out there, see what you have, and so you can evaluate him for next year.
I'm just going to say no to talk radio questions.
All right, question 7, and we've got to move it along here. Who is the best coach in the AFC right now?
Vrabel. I love him. I think he'd be great.
Wow, that's a great one. I'm going to go with Andy Reid. I mean, until, you know, he gets knocked down, I think it's Andy Reid.
$5 foot long.
All right, you guys may have seen this. Lions special team coach Braden Coombs fired after going rogue and calling a fake punt without consulting Daryl Bevel.
Oh.
Who is the biggest tool bag assistant coach in the NFL today?
You got to get this right, Greg.
Well, hell of a coaching staff Matt Patricia formed over there in Detroit. The biggest tool bag assistant coach, Dan Campbell.
Oh, is he still coaching? Where's he at? Where's that guy? He is a hardo.
New Orleans?
Okay. I think. Great call. Shoot, you know what? I misread the question. Can I? If you asked this question 2 weeks ago, I would have said Greg Williams. Greg Williams is the biggest tool bag, but he has since been fired, so I guess he's not working in the NFL. But Greg Williams, some of his play calls and just his overall attitude, I've always kind of laughed because he's that old school archaic kind of mentality that it just doesn't work anymore.
Jarrett Stidham.
All right, question 9. Will the Patriots, for the first time ever, spend over $9 million on a wide receiver this offseason, the previous record belonging to Randy Moss?
I'm going to say no. I think they're going to piece it together, and I think they're going to put more money into tight end.
I'm going to say no. Bills, he's never done it before since Randy Moss. I don't see him doing it again, so I'm going to say no.
We believe in Jarrett Stidham.
And finally, question 10, is the next head coach of the New England Patriots currently on the coaching staff?
I think so, because it's either going to be Josh McDaniels, and if McDaniels is gone, then I think it's going to be Jerod Mayo. So I'm going to say yes.
Fascinating. That would be great to see one of those two. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think Josh is going to go, and I'm not sure, you know.
Mayo could get a job, too.
Yeah. Boy, I think he needs a little bit more seasoning. I'm a big fan of his, but I don't see it. So I'm going to say no on that one.
All right, there you go. There's your 10 questions with Bedard and Ted Johnson. We got headlines coming up right here, and then we're right back.
Basketball is here, folks, and there is no better place to get in on all the action around the league than with DraftKings. To celebrate this week's tip-off, DraftKings is crowning another new millionaire this week. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code SPORTSHUB. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Again, code SPORTSHUB for this free shot at $1 million with your first deposit, only at DraftKings.
$5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here on the Sports Hub, Felger and Maz. No Felger, no Maz, no Jim. It's me, Christian Arcand, alongside Ted Johnson. It's a Big Boy Tuesday here with Greg Bedard, who in our show email today had this little nugget. If you're hearing this music, this is the music from Hard Knocks, and they may be extra motivation for Bill Belichick next year because if you miss the playoffs for two straight years, you can be forced to do Hard Knocks. I didn't realize that. That's the thing. You have to miss the playoffs two straight years, and then they can force you to be on the show, right?
Well, there's like 8 criteria points, I think, right, Greg? And that's one of them?
Yeah, there's like 3 or 4 points, including haven't been on the show in like 10 years. And also, if you don't have a new head coach. So if the Patriots, say Bill Belichick, retired after next season and they named a new head coach, the Patriots would not have to do Hard Knocks if they had a new coach. So, yeah, I mean, look, I put it out there just for fun. I mean, it's just something fun to think about in terms of, you know, Bill Belichick dealing with Hard Knocks. I'm sure he'd tell Robert Kraft just to talk all day on Hard Knocks. But I do think, you know, look, if it comes to if Belichick is deciding whether to come back or not, and he's being told, like, you're being forced to do Hard Knocks, like, could that make him be, you know, give him that little extra? I'm not saying it's going
to
be the reason he retires, but could it be the sort of final straw? Like, screw this. I'm not doing this. I hate the NFL. Screw you all. I'm leaving.
Oh, maybe. I think you could be his, like, Mona Lisa. I think he'd be like, oh, you guys, every time the camera's in front of you, don't, you know, he just – reinforce everything we've all be sort. It'd be the boringest Hard Knocks you've ever watched, and there's been some bad ones, there's been great ones, because you get nothing. You would get absolutely nothing, is my feeling, right? I mean, but wouldn't that be something to hear? I would love to kind of have a camera in there. What was it? It was a year where they had the, you know, Miami Dolphins, where they were showing guys getting cut. They were showing guys, you know, getting traded. John, you know, Jeff Ireland's trading the defensive back to the Colts, and you're just like going, "Holy!" I mean, that's some of the best footage you'll ever see. But I'm sure Bill, you never see that with Bill. You know, they never give you access, and I think it'd be boring as hell.
One thing on that, because I was around the Texans the year that they had it with Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. And the thing that would drive Bill nuts is that they put cameras everywhere. Like, everywhere. And I'm sure that would drive him bananas. Yeah. That, like, including they put one in the coach's office. Like, the day the NFL is allowed to put a camera in Bill Belichick's office is... I'm sorry. It's the day he walks away from the NFL. There's just no chance of that happening.
Hey, Greg, who was the star of that year's Hard Knocks?
Vince?
Okay, you're right. Vince was. Okay, I was thinking of a coach. You're right. Vince
with the overalls.
Oh, yes. And the boots.
And you know there was nothing underneath those overalls.
It was Vrabel. Vrabel was the linebacker's coach. On that team, and I just thought, you know what, all Hard Knocks is going to do for Vrabel is make him look really good for potential, jobs down the road. And it certainly didn't hurt him. But I thought he was. You're right, but Vince was great in that. But I thought Mike kind of stole the show in that year's Hard Knocks.
We always talk about how there's no way Bill would ever do that. He'd never allow that kind of access. No way, no way, no way. 2009, he allowed plenty of access, and I know maybe he'd never do it again because that season didn't go too well, didn't make him look all that great, but he has done it before.
But don't kid yourself. Everything you saw, he signed off on. Mm. So, I mean, he'll give you access, but he's got the final say in what is actually going to be shown and what it's not going to be shown.
That's also part of this. It's a humongous pain in the ass in that, as training camp is going on, the coach or somebody, some surrogate like Bears or somebody, we'll have to approve the footage and they can go back and forth. I mean, the Raiders season was a complete, other than the AB stuff, was a complete dud. Other than AB and John Gruden say, knock on wood if you're with me in team meetings. Yes. Other than that, it was a complete dud. You didn't see any personnel stuff. And Mayock said they were a complete pain in the ass to NFL films. And if they thought the Raiders were bad, wait till the Patriots and Belichick get all up in there.
That would be fascinating. Hey, Greg, one thing I want to shoehorn this question in here right at this point, because you mentioned something in the first hour that I kind of want to revisit real quick, is when I asked you the question about, Bill Belichick and how he treats Cam Newton. And I was trying to think of a player in the past that Bill's had on the team that he's treated similarly to that in which he treats Cam, which is just, I don't know, he gets more chances than I think most players would. He gets certain liberties extended to him that I just don't think certain players would. And you mentioned the name Chad Ochocinco. And I found that to be interesting because I feel like, and I could be wrong, but correct me if I'm wrong, do you know how that relationship was formed, Chad Ochocinco and Bill Belichick? Have you heard? Do you know how they met and how they kind of maybe made the deal for Chad to come here?
I don't really remember. Okay. I mean, I remember the on-the-field stuff about, Bill went up to him and said, double 85 is going to be the call in this game. That's the only thing I remember.
All right, well, for some reason, and I could be totally wrong, and I apologize, but for some reason I have this idea in my head that they met at the Pro Bowl, that Bill Belichick coached a Pro Bowl where Chad Ochocinco was there. It was Chad Johnson at the time. And Chad just loved Bill, and Bill loved Chad at the Pro Bowl. And that was a big reason that he came to New England. And I find it interesting that there's some similarities between Chad. I think Chad was very respectful of Bill and thought Bill was the greatest, and he was very public about his kind of admiration for Bill Belichick, and that is maybe why he got the benefit of the doubt maybe more than other players, is because Chad had this kind of, huge admiration, was very public about it. And some people like to think that that's maybe why Cam is getting the chances he's getting, is the same kind of relationship Cam has with Bill as what Chad Ochocinco had with Bill. So I thought maybe that if you'd heard that, I feel like that's the case. And I find that interesting if that is true.
I would agree with that, Ted, in terms of, I think you're talking about two popular players to other players in the league as far as, Chad with all his social media stuff that he would do. He talks to a lot of players. It's sort of a mouthpiece to the rest of the league and almost a free advertisement. And even Chad will, he still loves Bill, even though he was a complete disaster here, and looks like it's going to be the same way with Newton. But I do think that part of the thing with Newton and why he feels indebted is that, look, Cam could have said, look, I'm not coming for $1 million and I'm not coming to compete for a job. Like, I would rather sit out and see if anybody gets an injury like Dallas or whoever and maybe grab a starting job that way. Mm-hmm. And, but Cam really did Bill a solid by coming here on that contract when he did and not holding out for another job. And I think Bill feels a little indebted with that because if he didn't do that, what the hell were the options? Were they like Blake Bortles? I mean, there were no other options at that time. If Cam didn't do what he did, it would have been Jared Stidham probably starting week one. And I think that just shows you how much Bill wanted to avoid that.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll take some phone calls with the big boy before we say goodbye right after this.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.353 here on the Sports Hub. We got a few minutes more with the big boy Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. And so let's use that time to let the callers scream at him, as we like to do towards the end here. We'll begin with Mark in Washington. Mark in Washington, what's up?
Yes, sir. You know, after watching Brady all these years, it seemed pretty apparent to me when he was calling an audible. Watching Cam this year, even when the line, the defensive line has been overloaded to one side or another, seems to me a lot of times he ran plays right into the strength of the defense. And it wasn't apparent to me that he was doing an audible. I don't remember seeing him ever do one. Do you know if they gave him that capability?
Cam Newton never call an audible, Greg.
As far as I can tell, no, but they have run, you know, the term slips my mind right now, but, you know, basically they'll run, you know, an alert system.
Oh, check with me.
Yeah, check with me, where it's like two play calls, and the original play call, if you hear them say alert, alert, that means they're going to the secondary call, and they have been able to do that at times, but you're right. I mean, I think largely Cam and the offense have had to run the plays called for the most part this year. And against the Dolphins, there were times where you're just like, all right, it looks like the Dolphins are bringing pressure. I mean, some of their screens that is fooling nobody in the last month, because everybody knows when they get in the long yardage, God, they're going to try to run a screen and everyone's all over. I mean, the defensive linemen, Ted, I don't know if you've ever seen anything like it, but like these defensive linemen, like right at the snap, they're taking one step and they're like screen and they're running the other way. Like,
hey, Greg, we highlighted this, Phil Perry and I on Monday Night Patriots last night. I mean, the first two third down plays, the first one was a 3rd and 12 and the next one was a 3rd and 9, both wide receiver screens. And if you watch the Miami Dolphins, they don't even rush upfield. They stop and are ready for it because the predictability is there. So yeah, it's and that therein lies the rub with me, you guys, is if you're like, why don't you go with Jared Stidham? I feel like Jared Stidham could probably make audibles. He could probably get you out of, you know, into a different play. And you know what? You know, you can be a little bit less predictable in those third and long situations by playing the young kid.
I noticed one audible that was called, and that was the Scooby-Doo audible. I don't know if you guys saw that. That was my favorite audible that was called. All right, let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to know if you guys had an employee that refused to answer questions about his performance or his lagging performance, like how would you handle that? Secondly, I think we should keep Cam. And Pat's going to stink next year anyway, if we're all really honest. So, like, what difference does it make? But America's all about second chances. And then Belichick, you know, we always talk about releasing players 1 to 2 years early. I think we should do that too with Belichick. I think it's time to move on.
Okay.
Well, look, I mean,
he said a lot of things.
As far as the, I think he was getting at, you know, Bill refusing to answer questions
right
about, you know, who's going to be the quarterback, what's going on with personnel. It's just, you know, it's whatever we do with, is in the best interest of the team, all that bull crap. Because if that was the case, he would have actually gotten a viable tight end and maybe a nose tackle for this team to actually function offensively and defensively. But he didn't do that. But You know, I think the Belichick talk, whatever you think. I mean, I want him here. I want him part of. He's the best coach in the game. Mm-hmm. He needs to realize his personnel shortcomings. But look, if you're the Crafts, how do you not think about pulling a Belichick and being like calling around and be like, hey, you have any interest in Bill for 2 first-round picks or what have you? Like, you know, getting rid of him, you know, getting him on top, you know, like getting rid of trading Brady before he leaves, or trading Gronk before he flames out. If you're the owner of the team, I think everything's on the table, but you know, that's way above my pay.
Wow. That'd be fascinating. I just think, you know, what would be Bill be worth in a trade right now, right? I mean, that would be fascinating. Just at his age, and some people are going to, you know, for whatever, you know, right or wrong, people are going to judge Bill Belichick with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. And if you look at the two, they're vastly different stories to tell. And some people, you know, are just going to wait and see. Maybe want to see more out of Bill without Tom before they declare he's still the greatest coach.
All right, one more before we say goodbye. Tom is in Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Greg, I had a question. I got a few of my buddies who were talking about, you know, who the Pats are. They really going to make a move for a quarterback in the first round, which I usually doubt. Some of them say the kid from Alabama, which those kids don't really pan out very well to be stocked quarterbacks in the NFL. Are they more likely to pass in the first few rounds and then end up picking a kid like Ian Book from Notre Dame, only because he doesn't turn the ball over a lot, and we all know how Belichick feels about that, which they obviously need someone that's not going to turn the ball over, unlike they did this year. So I was just curious on what you thought of, what the possibilities of them, one, taking a quarterback at all, or two, it's skipping the first two rounds or so and waiting until the third or fourth, where I think he said it was like, he's listed like 15th, on the last list that I even looked up, because I haven't paid a ton of attention.
But okay, thanks, Tom. Quick, we're up against the clock here. What do you think about that? Is it 15th overall pick?
I think it's much more likely that the Patriots go and get whichever veteran is available who's capable of starting. I would keep an eye on the 49ers. Like, I just cannot, no matter what's coming out of there, they flirted with Brady, the idea this offseason. I cannot see them being like, oh, yeah, we're going to go with the guy who's hurt all the time again, that sort of flamed out our season. I just don't see that. I think they're going to make some sort of underrated move to get some sort of starter. I don't know who that's going to be. So Garoppolo, Stafford, Darnold, you know, whoever might shake loose that could come in here and be a starting caliber quarterback, I think that's the most viable option for Belichick, because if not, you're talking about a rookie quarterback, and who the hell knows when they're going to be able to win consistently.
All right, then we'll leave it right there. Greg Bedard, great talking with you today. If you're out there right now listening and you're looking for a last-minute stocking stuffer, a subscription to the Boston Sports Journal is a perfect thing for the sports fan in your life. I'm a big fan of that website as well. Greg Bedard, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. Have a happy holidays.
See you, Greg.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. That is Greg Bedard, the big boy, joining us here on a Big Boy Tuesday. We got headlines for you, and then NBA starting tonight. Ted Johnson.
That's awesome. Love it.
And you know what else? I was told that James Harden was going to get traded by today, so we'll jump into all of those things. The Celtics, the NBA, all of that. We'll take a nice big break from the Patriots with your phone calls right after the headlines.
We know talking sports is essential.
All right, let's hear what's going on.
Listen to the Sports Hub on your smart speaker and on the Sports Hub app.
Sports Hub headlines.
Hello? All right, there we go. Patriots will be sending 3 players to the Pro Bowl this year. Punter Jake Bailey, Matthew Slater, and Stephon Gilmore. Patriots may have been eliminated from playoff contention. They do have 2 games left to play, beginning with the Bills on Monday night. Speaking of Monday Night Football, last night the Steelers dropped their 3rd straight, getting beat by the Bengals 27-17. In other NFL news, Hall of Fame linebacker Kevin Green passed away on Monday. He was 58 years old, and the Washington football team said they're aware of pictures on social media of quarterback Dwayne Haskins out at a strip club Sunday night, not wearing a mask. Haskins tweeted an apology, said he spoke with Ron Rivera Monday and took full responsibility for putting the team at risk. Tonight, the NBA season officially tips off. Warriors and the Nets get things started in Brooklyn at 7 o'clock. o'clock, followed by the Lakers and the Clippers at 10 o'clock. The Celtics season begins tomorrow with Giannis and the Bucks. In other Celtics news, head coach Brad Stevens said today that injured point guard Kemba Walker is still, quote, a long way away from coming back. The Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame today announced its list of eligible candidates for the Hall of Fame class of 2021. That includes first-time nominees Doug Collins, Michael Cooper, and Paul Pierce, among others. And in hockey news, Zdeno Chara's agent told the Boston Globe that Chara is interested in staying in Boston, but he could retire or pick another team. Glad to have that cleared up. Headlines are brought to you by IBEW Local 103 and NECA Electrical Contractors, building hope, bringing light, and getting the job done. Visit them at thepowerprofessionals.com. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Next headlines at 4:30.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.